that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, get the pen!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free sting.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do
you see? This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you at 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. On the text line, on Twitter, at P. Creighton 1. Noah Fouts only the side of the glass. The master controls at Fouts underscore Noah. On the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975 app, ESPN975.com. Tell Alexa, hey Google, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. We know you want to. It's nice. It's easy. It's convenient. And now you can take us anywhere on any mobile device. Well, we're two-thirds of the way through this gauntlet of New York teams for the Houston Astros. Well, how do you feel about your Astros right now? Because against arguably the two best teams record-wise in baseball, they're 4-2. They could very easily have been 6-0. But they are 4-2. They are 10.5 up on the Arlington Junk Grabbers, who are in second place, three games under 500. Astros now 45-27. And, you know, I understand two different points of view here. One being, they blew a perfect opportunity to sweep the Yankees, kick them in the junk, stomp on their graves, etc. The other hand, like I told you before the series started, pressure was squarely on the Yankees coming into the series. The Astros have owned the Yankees in the postseason since 2015. The Astros don't have to prove anything to the Yankees. The Yankees need to prove it to the Astros. And yes, the Yankees have, to date, the best record in the league. And as of right now, the Yankees are the highest scoring offense in baseball by all of two runs over the Mets and three runs over the Dodgers. But the Yankees have been, look, they're playing 726 ball. And the Astros went into Yankee Stadium, and with the exception of maybe two innings, pretty much kicked the Yankees' ass. It's 16 1/3 hitless innings in the Bronx. It is the most hostile place to play. And I thought there were some important things to take from this four-game series. Number one, Alex Bregman is coming around. Told you at the beginning of the Mets series, the very first game against the Mets, it looked like Bregman's bat was coming around. Bregman has continued to hit, and you know, he's making nice plays on the field. He looks like he's moving better. His timing certainly looks better. Averages up to 234. 1-for-3 with a pair of walks yesterday. That OPS is climbing up. It's up to 764 now, which is, look, still below Alex Bregman's lofty standards, but it's up about 60 points in a week. So the fact that Bregman is starting to look more and more like Alex Bregman obviously a very big positive. Yuli had a pair of hits. Is Yuli starting to come around? Now, Yuli's still hitting under 225, but average is starting to creep up a little bit. Walk rate is still low. Slugging percentage is still very low. But as he heats up, will that come around? Getting Jeremy Peña back, of course, very important. Mauricio Dubon is now the utility guy in the outfield. He's now essentially the roaming outfielder. As much as he's not a big power hitter, doesn't have the power of either Chaz McCormick or Jose Siri, not as accomplished a fielder as either of those guys, he's come up with some timely hits. Two-run single yesterday. And his 242 average is more than 40 points higher than either of the other guys. I thought those were all positive things from the offensive point of view. We'll get into the pitching in a minute. Michael Brantley's injury, certainly at least of concern, that Brantley had to leave the game with a shoulder injury. And I guess don't really know how bad that injury is going to be. Don't have enough information really yet to say, you know, is he going to miss a day or is he going to miss multiple days? Does he need to go on EIL? We'll probably get the official word tomorrow. There's no game today, so they're certainly not in a hurry to give us any information today. But it could wind up with Chaz McCormick right back on the team. You would also get likely to have Yordan with a lot more DH at bats, because if you've got to call up somebody to replace Brantley on the roster, whoever you call up to do that is certainly going to be a better defender than Yordan. You're not taking Yordan's bat, so Yordan DH a lot. Their defense will be better. Jason Castro needs to go. He can't hit a beach ball. And that's got to be at least the fifth time he's thrown the ball wildly into center field already this year. It's like every time he throws down to second, the thing, I don't know where it's going. Neither does he. And it winds up in center field. And they were fortunate that it didn't hurt them in the game yesterday. But Jason Castro is a massive liability at the plate. Last year he came up with some timely hits. This year he can't do anything. I mean, when we talk about, you know, Alex Bregman having a slugging percentage of like 764 and how low it is for him. You know what Jason Castro's OPS is? It's under 330. As if that should even be possible. Martin Maldonado's OPS is 494. Castro's is 312. And he can't throw the ball to second base. There is zero reason. I mean, absolute zero reason for Jason Castro to be on this team anymore. And I don't know if it's because there's something going on that we don't know about. You know, is he banged up? Is there something wrong with him that we don't know about? Is it, you know, sometimes guys just get old in a hurry? Did he get old in a hurry? he was intending to retire at the end of the year. Does he just not have it anymore? I mean, is it not burning within him to play anymore? And that's the difference between last year and this year, is his heart's really not in it. Whatever it is, his skills are not in it. He is completely useless. And there's just zero reason for him to still be on this team at this point. Honestly, it doesn't even matter who you replace him with, because they can't possibly be as bad as Jason Castro is right now. He's the worst player in the league. And he's still here, but he's the worst player in the league. And if we want to get down to brass tacks, a deal that I kind of floated out there a couple of weeks ago, the idea of getting Wilson Contreras and David Robertson from the Cubs, and the Cubs are going to sell because they stink. You replace Machete's 147 average with a guy who's going to be an all-star, and it's hitting the snot out of the wall, and statistically grades out as a better defensive catcher. That guy's in there on a regular basis, and Machete becomes the backup. You add a power arm with a lot of closing experience to the back of the pen, David Robertson punching out 12.5 batters per nine. Tell you what, if Wilson Contreras was the catcher and David Robertson was in the pen, the Astros swept the Yankees this weekend. And I don't even bat an eye at that. They would have swept the Yankees this weekend. But there's things that we learned. And part of the things, look, it's June. The Astros have some pitchers in the pen that they needed to get some answers on. What kind of answers did they get? We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the idea of Wilson Contreras, David Robertson, a Cubs team that's going to sell. And that's, if I'm James Click, that's my top target. I'm going to get Wilson Contreras, and I'm going to get David Robertson in that deal. I'm going to add a power arm to my pen. I'm going to add the best catcher in the league behind my plate. I'm going to peace out on Jason Castro. Because, well, who are you going to give up? Cubs obviously are looking for, specs and not existing players. They're looking for young guys. Guys are going to be able to control for a long time. Hunter Brown is off the table. Corey Lee, he could go. Corey Lee is 23. He's a catcher. He's a high-ranking prospect, the number two prospect in the Astros system. He's a big give. You build a package around Corey Lee, okay. You have Wilson Contreras. Ideally, you're going to sign him. Well, you don't really need Corey Lee anymore, do you? Now, I don't think you should have to give up Corey Lee and Pedro Leon in the same deal, because unless there is a mega bidding war for Wilson Contreras, and that's possible. Unless there's a mega bidding war, you don't need to give up 2 and 3 for a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year. And both Contreras and Robertson are free agents at the end of the year. Robertson should not be getting a high-end prospect, but, something mid-range. If you said to me, is a, somebody around the, 10, 12 prospect in the system. Okay. Somebody who's probably young and way off. You know, Jamie Melendez type of guy, or Christian Gonzalez guys who are 20. But if I'm going to get a catcher, well, Corey Lee's probably going to be in the deal because he's a high-rated catching prospect, and high-rated catching prospects count for a little bit more than other prospects do because the catchers that can hit are hard to get. If there's any way I can work Forrest Whitley into that deal, bye. I don't actually know what Forrest Whitley's value would be in the trade market, seeing as he's still injured and working his way back. But if the Cubs think that there is upside there, let them take the upside. The only guy who 100%, no chance, no way, not no way, not no how, is Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown doesn't go for anybody. Hunter Brown is the one untouchable prospect in the system, no matter what. And like I said, for Corey Lee or Pedro Leon, I think one of those guys goes in the deal, not both. I don't think you need to put both in. I'll also say this. If push came to shove and you absolutely had to put both of those guys in the deal to get Contreras and Robertson, I'd do it. Because I think Contreras and Robertson legitimately push the Astros over the Yankees. Legitimately push them over. What we saw this weekend is, as well as the Astros' pen has pitched, Ryan Presley on back-to-backs still doesn't have it. After he had a day off, and no problem. Pitching back-to-back, doesn't have it. We saw Seth Martinez not yet ready for prime time. And we saw Phil Maton not look very good. We saw Ryan Stanek, maybe the moment was a little too big for him in the, like I said, the most hostile environment in baseball. So the number of guys in the Astros' pen who showed a ton of stones this weekend wasn't a lot. Bullpen was walking guys like crazy. Bullpen gave up more walks than the starters gave up hits. So going out and getting another arm, you could even say maybe two arms for the bullpen. Because you kind of saw, if the hostile environment in the Bronx the end of June was too much for guys to get outs, they're not getting outs in October. And while Seth Martinez has done a nice job in the innings he's given, when he got put in the crucible, he melted. And I don't want to hear about, oh, well, you know, it's Aaron Judge. In the playoffs, you've got to face Aaron Judge. And if you can't get him out, then you can't pitch in that situation. Also, in the playoffs, there's going to be more off days. So you won't have days like yesterday where Dusty didn't have essentially all his high-leverage relievers unavailable. He wouldn't have that in the postseason because there'd always have been a day off. You wouldn't have played six games in a row like that against the Mets and the Yankees. You'd have played two games, had an off day. And that absolutely changes how you use your pen. So you wouldn't have had to worry about, all right, well, you know, this guy's pitched three times in 4 days, he's gassed. This guy's pitched three times in 4 days, he's gassed. This guy's pitched three times in 4 days, he's gassed. They had four pitchers who weren't available. Wouldn't happen in the postseason. And look, in the game in June, that was, you know, kind of a litmus test for guys. You know what? Brian Abreu had to come into a game with two outs and men on, and historically, that has been a spot Abreu has failed every single time for the last several years. He came in, he got the out, they walked off the field. And for people who say, oh, well, why didn't he come out and pitch the next inning? Because he got out of a big jam. And what we know about relievers, you know, kind of pitch on emotion and they pitch on adrenaline. And when you come into a big spot like that and you get a huge out, it's really hard to ramp up for the next inning. So I didn't have a problem with Abreu not coming in to start the next inning because he got the out he needed to get. Dusty got him out of there on the high note. Abreu is working his way through the trust protocols to get into more high leverage spots because Maton is working his way out of it. Now, maybe Maton gets it figured out at some point, but right now, Maton's a middle reliever. And as great as he was in the postseason last year, hasn't translated in the regular season yet this year. Stanek's been great, but first game, ninth inning, dude, you throw 100 miles an hour. Have a little faith in your stuff. You throw 100, put it at the top of the zone. If you're going to get beat with your best. There's not a whole lot of guys who are beating you on 100 miles an hour. The walks were concerning. Way too many walks. Starting pitching looks great. And how about Jose Urquidy? Because a couple of weeks ago, we were really concerned about Jose Urquidy's massive drop in velocity as he got through the third inning. Giving up more hits than he's ever given up in his life. Really, with the exception of the home run to Stanton, that he threw at 91. The rest of the game, he worked 93-95. Seven innings, he gave up one freaking hit, and it came when his fastball velocity dropped down to 91. We get into another six-man rotation, and I think that's going to be a big, big help for Jose Urquidy. And the strength in his shoulder and his ability to continue to go out and pitch great. It was not a surprise how well he pitched against the Mets, having 7 days between starts. And he pitched like a champion against the Yankees. He's gone back-to-back, 100-plus pitch starts. So the days off certainly helping him too. A lot of good things about the Astros. Look, should they? You can make an argument they should be 6-0, but they're 4-2 against the two best teams in the league. And now they're going to go to Citi Field for two. They're going to come home and play the Yankees one more. And that 9-game stretch, you know, at this point, do you think they finish 6-3? Where do you stand with your Houston Astros? And what do you want them to do? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
And take a minute here with Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, treating hearing loss and vertigo. You know, Dr. Reyes is also one of only two audiologists in the greater Houston area, specially certified in tinnitus management. Now, I've had issues with what I thought was a hearing issue for a long time. When I'm in a loud, a loud area, I don't hear. All I hear is the background noise. So I went to go see Dr. Reyes to have my hearing checked out. I work in radio. I got headphones on all the time. Would not be a surprise if I had some kind of a hearing issue, right? So you get in the box, and it takes like 10, 15 minutes, and you do a hearing test. And what I learned was my hearing isn't the issue. I do have a neurological issue as far as how my brain processes the information. But my hearing itself is perfectly intact, somehow, some way. Now I know, okay, I know what to do to treat what my issue is. Have I had a hearing issue? Well, Dr. Reyes would have had the best answers on how to treat that hearing issue, because the technological advancements in treating hearing issues continue to become more and more amazing each year. Today's hearing aids don't look like your grandmother's hearing aids. They're not these big, giant, ugly plastic things that go all over your head. They're small, they're sleek, they're stylish, they're Bluetooth. They look like AirPods, right? You can't walk in the store, everybody's wearing AirPods. Nobody knows the difference. Zero people will realize you're wearing a hearing aid. They'll think you're just wearing headphones. You can answer your calls with them. You can stream your music through them. You can get your TV audio through them, just like regular Bluetooth headphones. Dr. Reyes and Dr. JJ, they work together. They work on things together like dizziness and balance issues. So if you have issues or you're concerned you might have issues with hearing, with dizziness, with balance issues, hearing loss, vertigo, well, call Dr. Reyes. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Go online, TexasSciencesAndSnoring.com/services/audiology. TexasSciencesAndSnoring.com/services/audiology. You know what? If you don't have a hearing issue, great. You can put your mind at ease. If you do have a hearing issue, no one is better than Dr. Reyes at helping you treat it so you can have your best hearing. Now, we were talking about the Astros and the rotation. And look, Jake Odorizzi is probably, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks away. Odorizzi will be back with, let's say, within the month, assuming no setbacks. He's already on his rehab assignment. So 3 weeks-ish, Jake Odorizzi should be back. If I'm the Astros, I'm going back to a six-man rotation. Now I can let Justin Verlander throw his 7-8 innings and not worry about how many innings he's racking up, because I take a few starts out of his belt. Same thing with Framber Valdez. Same thing with Jose Urquidy. Same thing with Christian Javier. All of these guys essentially have innings restrictions. JV coming off TJ should be at 160 innings. Fromber's never thrown more than 135 in a season. Javier's never thrown more than 108 in a season. Garcia's coming off a career-high 170-plus, including the postseason, which is about 60 innings more than he'd ever thrown before. So there is concern, will Garcia gas at the end of the year? You might remember Garcia looked a little gassed at points towards the end of last year. Urquidy had 2 stints on the IL with a shoulder injury last year. We're seeing evidence of his velocity dropping down very rapidly when he pitches multiple times on regular rest. Having had the extended rest before the Mets game, Urquidy's pitched very, very well his last 2 starts. But again, the home run he gave up to Stanton, 91 miles an hour, he works 93-95. So why the sudden inconsistency? That's been something that we've tracked in Urquidy as early as the 3rd inning in previous starts when he had to work on regular rest multiple times. So allowing him to have that extra day of rest, big deal. Not to mention, Odorizzi was pitching really well before he got hurt. That's an advantage the Astros have, is that they can throw guys, they can throw 6 guys who are all really good starters. No other team in baseball can do that. And that allows them to keep all their guys fresher when they get to October. And when we get to October, you know who needs to have a fresh arm? Justin Verlander. You do not want JV at 185, 190 innings, and then you get into the postseason, and now all of a sudden, coming off of Tommy John surgery, here's Justin Verlander pushing 190 innings, which nobody's ever done coming off Tommy John surgery. You run the risk of blowing his arm out. There are too many mutual needs between the Astros and Verlander to take the chance on blowing his arm out. Number one, do you see how he's pitching? Does anything say to you that Justin Verlander is not going to pitch like this for at least another 3 years? If I'm the Astros, I want Justin Verlander at the front of that rotation until his arm literally falls off. And if that means 42, 44, 46, I don't know. Will he be the next Roger Clemens? Will he pitch till he's 44? Maybe. His arm has been touched by God. He throws a thunderbolt every time he lets the ball go. And if you can keep going, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 1 year, 2 year, 1 year, 2 year, you're going to take care of Verlander this year. Because next year you won't have to. He could just be regular Justin Verlander. And if he throws 205 innings, he throws 205 innings. Because JV's proven to be a horse his entire career. But you got to give him the one season to get his arm back. That means this year you're not pushing him to big numbers. You're looking for Fromber to get through the season healthy. Again, he hasn't thrown more than 135 innings in a season. So you don't want him at 195 going into the postseason. You'll gas him. You've got to manage the bullets in the gun when it comes to these guys' arms. You go back to the six-man rotation. Those guys pitched phenomenal. Every single one of them. Astros went on their big winning streak when they were running the six-man rotation. Bullpen guys don't have to work as hard. Because all these guys are going into the sixth, into the seventh every single game. Get a little bit extra rest, they can pitch a little deeper. Bullpen doesn't have to work as hard. When it comes time to the postseason, you're going to move out some of those weaker pen arms because you're probably going to piggyback some of your starters. Verlander's going to go on his own. Fromber's going to go on his own. Everybody else is going to piggyback. You remember when the Astros were piggybacking McCullers and Morton? Well, you've got two sets of guys that you can piggyback. That gets you for four starts. And that doesn't even include Lance McCullers Jr. going to pitch this year and look like Lance McCullers Jr. Because while he's, quote, on track in his rehab, the reality is if he comes back, we're probably looking at August. For where he is right now, how much further he is to go, the fact that he's saying he's going to need the full rehab stint at AAA, that's going to put him to just about August. And then, well, is he Lance McCullers from last year? Is he kind of Lance McCullers from last year? Like, what is he going to be? There's no way for us to know that yet. We'll get a little bit more insight to it as we see him pitch in Sugarland. But right now, there's no answer to that question. So you add another power arm to the pen like David Robertson. And then when we get to the postseason, you've got four starters that you're piggybacking into two games. Takes a lot of pressure off the pen. You take that kind of pressure off the pen, you know what? Yankees won 0 games this weekend. So for all the things the Astros did wrong, when you consider they're missing two of their starters. They only got their starting shortstop back just recently during this series. They only got their starting center fielder back just recently during this series. The Yankees have basically no injuries at all. And they lost their left fielder, the Astros did, in Brantley, at least temporarily. The Astros looked like the better team most of that series. It's frustrating you only won two games, but you ought to feel pretty damn good. Because, again, the pressure was on the Yankees, and they didn't look good at all in their own building. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, Brother Bear asked, would you consider a reunion with Roberto Osuna? And the short answer is no. The long answer is absolutely not. And as much as I can put it on, no need for dirtbags in the clubhouse, I can also put it on baseball. You might remember the reason Osuna went on the IL with the Astros was he suffered a partially torn UCL in his throwing elbow. Osuna never had surgery. So his elbow was pretty much hanging on by a thread. And, you know, will it flare up on him? Will it swell up on him? Will he be able to have the same command, control, velocity? Will it pop? All of those are very high likelihoods. In fact, Osuna, about 2 weeks ago, signed on to play with the Chibolat Marines in Japan. Because nobody in the States will take a flyer on him. With that elbow issue, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And the fact that he's had as much time as he could to have surgery, and he elected to rest, rehab, not have the surgery, would not touch him, not any way in hell. And you think about the status of pitching in Major League Baseball, every team in baseball is desperate for pitching. Nobody will touch him. It was a big deal when the Astros brought him in because not a good guy. Not a good guy, and his elbow's hanging by a string, not a chance. Not a good guy should be enough. Elbow hanging by a string should be enough. Put them together? Hell no. You know, and it also asked about the idea of the six-man rotation. Well, is Verlander going to go for that? Verlander wants October. First and foremost, he wants October. Do you not think he feels if he were healthy last year, the Astros have a shiny new ring? Do you think he feels the year before, if he was healthy, the Astros at least get to the World Series and maybe have a shiny new ring? He wants another one. He also understands what coming off Tommy John surgery means. He also understands how close he is to a lot of magic numbers. You know, and that's part of Verlander's legacy. All the magic numbers. So right now, Verlander has 235 wins. 9-3. Let's say over the course of the rest of the year, Verlander wins another 9 games. 18 wins. That would get him to 244 wins in his age 39 season. he's got a legitimate shot considering how well he's playing this year. He's got a legitimate shot to pitch long enough to get to 300 wins. You win 300 games, you're in the Hall of Fame. Done deal. He has 3,097 strikeouts. He can get to 3,500. He can get over 3,500. I don't know if he can pitch enough to get to 4,000, but he could certainly pitch enough to get to 3,400. It's a big deal. 3,500 strikeouts, 300 wins. You're just checking the boxes. He's got two Cy Youngs. He's got an MVP. He's got a Rookie of the Year. He's got a ring. He'd like to get multiple rings. Because he doesn't want to just be, not just is he a Hall of Famer, but one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived. He won't have the number of Cy Youngs that Roger Clemens has. But he has multiple rings. I have 300 wins. A lot of strikeouts. He doesn't have any, dark clouds hanging over him. About did he use this or did he use that? Justin Verlander gets into a very, a very elite conversation. Goes in on the very first try. Right? This is essentially his fourth full season. Well, he's been here since 2017. Right? He came over August 31st, deadline, like 2 minutes to midnight. Pitched here all 18, all 19. One start in 2020, and then, his arm blew out. Missed all of 2021. Back in 2022, and here he is with a 2.22 ERA and an 0.87 whip, which is just ungodly. And even when you consider 39 years old, 0.87 whip, that's ungodly. It's amazing how he's been able to come off injury and look just like the guy who won a Cy Young. Put it in perspective. He was Cy Young at 21-6. He's 9-3. He's really not far off the pace. 2.58 ERA then, 2.22 ERA now. He's got 89 innings pitched this year. He threw 2.23 that year. Obviously, he will not get to 2.23, but could possibly get to 180. Blake Snell won Cy Young with 160? That was a total joke. But the precedent is there. Verlander in his last two full seasons led the league in whip, which is walks and hits per innings pitched. League average is about 1.3. Anything between 1 and 1.1 is considered elite. Verlander was 0.90 and 0.80, which is holy cow, stupid, ridiculously good. He's 0.87 right now. While his strikeouts per nine are down, and they're down a lot, from 12 to 8.5, he still doesn't walk guys. He still doesn't give up homers. He doesn't give up a lot of hits. With the exception of you striking out a few less guys, he's still Justin Verlander. To have them on that six-man rotation, you saw how well they all pitched. The whole staff, they all pitched like champions. I get back to that as soon as I could. And if I get McCullers back and McCullers is stretched out and he looks strong, I'll worry about what I'm going to do with my rotation at that point because let's be real. By the time we get to August, there's a pretty good likelihood either somebody else has gone down with an injury, somebody's tired, there's some issue. You need 10 starters to get. You need like 10 starters to get through a season. You can't get five guys to take the ball 34 times anymore. You need about 10 starters to get through a season, especially when jammed together. You're going to have doubleheaders, don't have a lot of days off. You need 10 starters to get through a season. So, six-man rotation. Let Verlander get all his accolades. Get through the season. Be ready for October. You can turn him loose next year and let him throw as many innings as he freaking wants. But this year, you got to protect his arm. It's the right thing to do for him and his career. It's also the right thing to do for you and your team and your goals of October. And he's not the only pitcher you've got to protect, but he's, for your chances of winning a World Series, the most important. Like I said, you go get yourself Wilson Contreras and David Robertson. King of Twitch says he will bet his house Verlander does not get to 300. I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet. Because at the end of this year, he's probably going to be at about 245 wins. 55 off, 3 years, I'd say he gets them. I'll take the bet because I think Verlander will pitch at least another four seasons. That'd take him through age 43. He's out there throwing 96. 39 years old, coming off Tommy John surgery, banging 96, no problem. I will take my shot that he's ready to go get himself to 300. Might be the end of the line when he gets it, but he'll get there. And yes, I did talk about Corey Lee being the guy you build your package around for Wilson Contreras. He's the number two ranked prospect in the system, so it's a big, big give. But you can build a package around Corey Lee, and you shouldn't have to give up Pedro Leon because, again, you're giving up Corey Lee. For two guys who are free agents at the end of the year, the only way you wind up having to give up Leon is if the Mets and the Yankees come in and they throw the house, the Cubs, and say, we'll give you anything. Then you got to be willing to give anything. Anything except Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown goes nowhere. Hunter Brown goes absolutely nowhere except to the Astros and into the rotation. Or at least into the pen as the playoffs come around. Assuming he can do that. We'll find out. But Hunter Brown is the one guy in that system that is absolutely 100% unfreaking touchable no matter what. All right, coming up next, Kyrie the hero, in his own words. Next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.